Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We've talked a bit about chocolate and chocolate for Valentine's Day, and with Marcus Candinas, the great, great chocolates. But there's a guy who makes really good wine, great wines as well, with us, Philippe Coquart, who is the winemaker and owner of Wallersheim Winery. I should say owner with family. of the Wallersheim Winery. And it's always great to have Philippe with us to talk about wines. And you know, it seems like kind of a good time. We just had a little chocolate. Now we're going to have a little discussion on wine. And certainly he's always ready and able and willing to answer your questions. And well, we've talked about wines, we've talked about grapes, and how do you, you know, people are wondering how to make their own, all kinds of things that we've discussed with him. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Philippe, it's great to see you.
Thank you. Same here.
Oh, is now the time of the year for you?
Actually, you know, it's kind of it's a transition time.
Yeah,
we will be pruning as of tomorrow, mm-hmm. So we will be focusing on in the vineyard, kind of see what the winter brought us. As of last week, it had been a mild winter. We got a one night at 25 below and 27 below.
Yeah.
So that could start to hurt, but hopefully not too severely, and we will find out tomorrow what we have. So
yeah, well, let's hope that. Well, yeah, where did that come from anyway?
You know, it's been well a couple of nights at 10 and 15 below, but a drastic one at minus 25. That you could see some damage on 2 and 3 year old vines, but hopefully nothing major. So.
Yeah. You think about that, 25 below, and here we're having some close to 50 degrees. I mean, that's a big swing in temperature.
That's a huge swing.
Oh, my, like 75-degree swing in temperatures over the course of a week. Oh, my goodness. Well, so, but for the most part, things look like they came through the winter okay. And
yeah, it's been a good winter. You know, what we fear is cold wind, no snow, what we call desiccation, which is the drying of the vines, almost like a windshield factor, you know.
Yeah.
If it's too cold, too dry for too long, then the water gets sucked out of the tissue, and that's how you get you could get into some trouble. We haven't had that, you know. We had a damp summer. Okay, that was an issue. We had a dry fall. It was good. So it should be fine.
Yeah, it should be. Well, let's talk about your wines. And you brought some wines along. And I'm seeing your, and I haven't purchased in the store myself yet, the small bottles. I'm really, the Prairie Fumé, which I love the Prairie Fumé. But that's kind of an interesting little marketing concept there.
Well, it's an idea of a lot of people unable to buy a full bottle or finish a full bottle. So we thought, let's go to the mini packaging, what we call mini Prairie Fumé. And they are also in plastic format, so you could take them while canoeing or on a boat because water body forbid glass bottle. Also stadiums and picnicking places, so there is no fear of breaking glass and having glass for injury. So that's why we decided to go with the mini Prairie Fumé. It's equal to about a glass and a half. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, convenient packaging, and we thought we'll start with the most popular wine of ours, the Prairie Fumé, to see how the market is receiving it.
Yeah, and it's and of course this is brand, pretty brand new, so you really haven't had a chance.
No, we haven't had a full season yet, so we introduced it late last summer, so we really don't know, but we hope it will grow and be a convenience factor to enjoy Prairie Fumé.
Well, Prairie Fumé, and we've talked. We've talked about Prairie Fumé. As I have to say that I really love that wine. But I like all your wines, to be perfectly honest. But what is it? What is it about Prairie Fumé that most people love?
It's interesting because it's a wine ahead of its fashion. ahead of its time. It's a perfume that we came up with 20 years ago exactly, or 21 years ago. And it was the answer of Pinot Grigio of 20 years ago. It fits a wide range of taste. It starts sweet, but it finishes dry. It's light. It's fruity. I'm not a big fan of overly sweet wine. I drink Parfumé all the time. I like dry wines. I like semi-dry wines. And Parfumé fits a wide range of tastes. That's why it has become so popular in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Philippe Cocard of Wallersheim Winery, our guest, as we talk with him about wines and wine making. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along here today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. You know, I was talking with Judith about this, our producer, and, you know, the climate here in Wisconsin, it seems a little harsh in some ways for a grape production, wine production, but there are quite a few wineries here now.
There are more and more wineries and more vineyards. And in 25 years, I would say 5 or 6 new grapes have been developed, introduced, propagated to fit this upper weather condition. Northern America, from Canada to Minnesota to Upper Michigan, and so on. And those grapes were not available 25, 30 years ago. Grapes such as Frontenac, Frontenac Gris, La Crescent, St. Pepin, Marquette, St. Croix, and they are up and coming. They are a lot of new vineyards starting up and planting those varietals. So on a market or marketing point of view, it will take a few years for those grapes to get to be known. But can we grow them? Absolutely. Can we make good wine? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sharon in Shatek has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been a fan for a lot of years.
Thank you.
And since the early 90s, I guess.
Thank you.
My daughter used Parfumé for her wedding.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But that's not my favorite wine. And you're making little bottles of that?
Yes, we do.
And I think that's great, but I wish you'd make them out of the Blushing Rose instead.
You know, it could be in the works. We want to see how the Parfumé minis are received, and then we might branch out into like the Prairie Sunburst Red, the Riesling, and the Blushing Rose. But give us a couple years and we will be able to judge that.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's
the only one I drink. I don't drink a lot, but it's the only one I drink.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And maybe you should talk about the different wines that you do make so that we've the broad range.
Well, we go from the super fancy and connoisseur wines such as the Pinot, very mm-hmm. traditional, barrel fermented, barrel aged Chardonnay, Domaine Reserve, our flagship 40-year-old vines, our biggest red, most aging potential. We Domaine du Sec, which is like a Rhone style. Mm-hmm. We also have a Ruby Nouveau, Prairie Sunburst Red, more in the Beaujolais, lighter red style. And then we have the Parfumé, of course, we all know, a dry Riesling, which is huge. Riesling is the fashionable wine of the moment. Mm-hmm. Everybody's interested in Rieslings. And we have Blushing Rose, semi-dry blush wine, Prairie Blush, also another blush made of Fauche grapes grown on the estate. River Gold, semi-dry, or semi-sweet, I would say, dessert wine. And we also do ice wine, which is more and more popular. And we have a couple seasonal wines, such as Eagle White, made from grapes grown on the estate, and the port, the red port, a tawny port, and the newly released as of 2 weeks ago, the white port made of muscat fruit. And that was a huge success. A couple of weeks ago, we had 3,000 people that came to enjoy the white port. So that was a great day.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, Dave in New Berlin has a question or comment for you. Dave, hi.
Hi. My question is, what affects the sweetness of the wine? Is that sugar that's added after the wine is fully fermented? Or, you know, otherwise, if it's fully fermented, the wine is going to be very dry.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are different ways of doing it. River Gold of our wine, a sweet wine of ours, is the only one of ours with sugar added post-fermentation. All the other wine that we produce at Watershed Winery, we stop the fermentation. So we interrupt the fermentation. We have less alcohol and natural residual sweetness. Few wineries are using this technique. I would say most of the other winery will sweeten post-fermentation, but our Riesling, Prairie Fumé, Prairie Blush, Blushing Rose, all those that I mentioned, we stop the fermentation. So by choice, we have less alcohol, between 9, 10, and 10.5%, and the remaining part is the natural sweetness.
There we go. Philippe Cocard, our guest today, winemaker and owner of Wallersheim Winery, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, it's Valentine's Day, as we've been talking about. We're visiting about wine today with Philippe Cocard, but I was just surprised to have my wife walk in the studio along with some members of the UW Concert Choir. And you guys have something for me? Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
It's wonderful. Swallow us. You should care for me. That you should care for me.
This is my wife, Renee. This is a special Valentine's gift from her to me, and she's actually even in the studio. Thanks, honey. that was so great. Thank you so much, members from the UW Concert Choir, and you guys are great. Thank you, and happy Valentine's today to you as well. I hope someone sings for you too.
Thank you so much.
And Renee, we'll talk later. Oh, that was, well, Philippe.
I'm glad I wasn't asked.
That was wonderful, wasn't it? That's the Valentine's gift that my wife said the other day, she said, we're not doing anything for Valentine's, are we, this year? And I said, well, so she fooled me, and she and I will be sharing a bottle of wine and probably some chocolates a little bit later on to celebrate Valentine's. A sweet thing.
Perfect.
It's perfect. Well, wine's perfect too. Do you notice a difference in the amount of wine that's sold at this time of the year or other times of the year?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, especially when you see a guy walking in and buying only one bottle. you know, it's a nice gift, and you know, it's an occasion.
And it's probably going to be shared.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get back to our regular programming now. I'm going to have a copy of that, of this show to listen to. David and Amory. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Happy New Year, Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
I just heard your wife serenade. That's pretty special.
Yeah, that is. She's a pretty nice lady.
Well, my question is this. I lived in Europe for many, many years, and I grew to love a really, really fine, full-flavored, full-bodied Chianti that had been aged. My favorite was Brunello di Montalcino, and I want to ask your guest, do Chianti vines grow well in Wisconsin, and if not, why? I love a good Chianti.
The Chianti vines will not grow, unfortunately, in Wisconsin. However, I will give you the name of three grapes that could be tried and could be made in such style. Number one will be Foch, Maréchal Foch, F-O-C-H. It is easy to grow, extremely reliable, very winter hardy, can handle all sorts of a trellising system, and we grow about 20 acres of that. The other two are newcomers and will do as well. Frontenac is very vigorous, needs to be picked late, like second week of October, and needs to be picked very, very ripe, like 24-25% sugar to soften the acid. So you need you need to find a spot where it will go that long and that far. And the other one is Marquette. Marquette is quite unknown, but has huge potential. And those three red grape will make a Chianti-style wine easily.
I love full-bodied wines, and I've missed getting... It's hard to get good Chianti here.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I agree, but any of those three grapes can be made. You should try our Domaine Reserve, and you might be surprised how close it is to a Chianti style.
Yeah. I can go over the internet and reach you that way for
absolutely.
A good wine.
Yep.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Philippe Cocard of Wallersheim Winery, our guest. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Mark in Prairie du Chien, you're next. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I actually thought of another question on the while I was waiting on the break, but I'll get to my that one next.
Okay.
I am a home winemaker, and I bought a World Vintners Reserve kit, and I'm wondering what the best way to age that wine is, if it's in the bottle aging better than in the glass carboy.
What wine are we talking about?
It's a Cabernet.
Okay. What's the vintage? It just
I think it was a 2009.
2009. What I would recommend you do, is the wine very green and full of tannin?
It's a fairly tanniny wine.
Okay, well, then what I'm going to suggest is you stay at least 8 months to a year in the glass carboy, and what you need to add to it, if you cannot go into a 5-gallon barrels, which is the traditional way of doing it, you could add some oak chips or oak marbles of medium toast, French oak or American oak, depending on your taste. It will soften the green tannin of the wine, make the wine mature, and after a year it will have softened greatly, and then you can bottle it. Once it is in the bottle, it will continue to change, but a lot slower. And a Cabernet full-bodied at 13.5% of alcohol with some barrel aging will age 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And my second question is, now, does Waldersheim Winery offer any of those Kit style winemaking?
No, we don't. My father-in-law did that 30 years ago, but we don't anymore. We often talk to home winemakers and give them advice, like I just told you. But no, we do not do the kits.
There we go. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Jennifer in Wakana, Iowa, will turn to you now. Hi, Jen.
Hello. I was just calling. I'm not a big wine drinker. I haven't ever found one that I liked. And I was just wondering, is there a certain type of wine that would be the best to start off with for somebody that wants to try and acquire the taste?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of choice, you know, and you certainly don't have to spend $18, $20, $30 a bottle. Your best buys will be around the $12 to $15, and even $9, $10, $12, you will find outstanding wine, great wine to start. I would advise you to start with either with a light red like a Beaujolais or our Prairie Sunburst red. If you are into red wine and graduate towards the big, heavy reds. In the white, and the easiest one right now to try would be either a Riesling. If you don't specify, Riesling will be semi-sweet, and it's a good way, so you could say, well, I want a bit sweeter, or I'd rather taste a little drier. Then you go from a Riesling to a dry Riesling. And then you can go down to the Chardonnay and so on. Otherwise, middle of the road would be a Pinot Grigio. Pinot Grigio would be off-dry to semi-dry. And it's a great way to start. Always my advice and our advice at the winery is always associate those wines with food. The food tastes better. The wine tastes better. Yeah. They complement each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And your Prairie Fumé, I mean, that would be... I tell you, Jennifer, if you can get your hands on a bottle of that,
okay. Thank you.
I think it would be a perfect start for you. Absolutely, for me.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. You can join in too with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Have open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. We have Kim from Reedsburg wondered what happened to the annual grape stomp. Used to be a favorite thing, a favorite event.
Well, like every good thing, it has an end. And Prairie Fumé was a great success. It was a lot of fun. The intention of Prairie Fumé 30 years ago was advertising, getting the winery to be known. And I think we've achieved and overachieved that with Grape Stomp. It became so popular, so big, that we had 10,000 people on the grounds, 4,000 on Sunday, 6,000 on Saturday. It just got too big. The place could not handle the number of people. It was great fun, but we thought we had to slow down and not... let the place be discovered and enjoyed that way. Our way of wanting the winery to be known is about teaching and discovering wine and what we are about, grape growers, winemakers, and we didn't think Grape Stomp was the best way to illustrate our personality. It was great. We enjoyed it like everybody, and now we're focusing on other events.
And Michelle in Green Bay, we turn to you now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. My question is, I was wondering what wine would be paired best with lobster?
Oh.
I would say...
One of my favorite foods.
A Chardonnay. And I would say a barrel-aged Chardonnay because of the softness, the creaminess of the wine. I would not advise you to go the Pinot Grigio style. Riesling will be too aromatic, too fruity. Pinot Grigio would be maybe too acidic. Prairie Fumé would be a fit, depending on what the lobster sauce is. If it's a lemon, garlic, butter, then I would say Parfumé would go if it has lemon. But if it doesn't have lemon, I would stick to a Chardonnay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right. Sounds like you've got a good dinner in mind, Michelle.
I do.
All right. Well, have a good one. Thank you. All right. Cal and Sugar Camp, let's go to you next. Hi, Cal.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, years ago, I used to go to wine tastings many, many years ago. And I remember some friends of mine used to bring some bottles back from France when they were doing scientific research over there in the summertime. And white Burgundy and Pouilly Fussé, and I couldn't, both of them I adored, but I don't remember if they were the same thing or different. And I was wondering if you make anything like either of those two wines.
Actually, white Burgundy and Pouilly Fussé are made of Chardonnay. Chardonnay from Burgundy region is a little bit lighter in style than a typical quote-unquote American Chardonnay. Pouilly Fussé is a very specific region. It's an appellation which is south of Burgundy between Beaujolais, Mâcon, and northern Burgundy. So Pouilly Fussé would be one of the lightest white Burgundy and very praised worldwide. There is not a huge supply of Pouilly Fussé.
No, it's very expensive,
And so I would say, you know, if you could find a light style Chardonnay or un-oaked Chardonnay, which we do one for the Cedar Creek Winery at Cedarburg, on oak Chardonnay would be the closest to this style of wine that you would enjoy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gal. Thanks for calling. And on to Mike in Green Bay. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Philippe, can you tell me, with a German Riesling that's about 10 years old, 20 years old, when they get those petrol notes in the nose, what's going on there technically and chemically that creates that? And also, do the wines here from the Midwest have that potential as well?
That's a tough one. I think it's all related to the esterification of the flavors. All the component that supports all the different aromas that we always make reference of, reminiscent of figs, apple, violet, flower, and so on. The esters are aging, losing power, and sometime in some wine they have that petroleum look-alike or scent-alike. Eventually, one of the best way to do is the wine needs to breathe a little and will mature in your glass as you are letting it breathe, and the flavor will change. Will some of the Midwest Riesling go that way? I doubt. And it has to do also with the acid content of the wines. Midwestern Riesling, New York State Riesling are a little bit more acidic and will reminisce of German Riesling. Washington State, Oregon, and California will not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Rick and Monona a chance to join us, too. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a couple of questions. One of them is about the Asian lady beetles. We put in two grapevines in our backyard, and the beetles just devoured all the leaves on it. I was constantly dusting, and, you know, they'd drop off by the hundreds, and then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, they'd be back, and we don't know exactly. There are certain varieties that get attacked. How does the vineyard handle that?
It is not specific to varietal, not that we know. Wow, that's a tough one. You know, we do have to use a commercial spray, and what we use the most of is a 7. It's a carbamil base. It is available at hardware stores. please consult the label and read the label how frequently you can use those. It is a contact spray, so you could mix it in a little mist bottle and apply it as often as needed. We have had the same issue, and we do spray, and our spray pattern would be every 3 weeks to every 2 weeks, but again, depending on the attack and the severity. Few beetles are acceptable. A lot of beetles are not, and you have to find that happy medium and the threshold.
With two vines, you know, you might have. Did you try a floating row cover at all, Rick?
No, we didn't. We were brand new at it, and we really didn't know quite what to do.
Yeah, you know, because you only have two vines, you might get away with a floating row cover, which is you could get at a garden center, and it's really cheap, to be perfectly honest, and you could cover it and still get the light and the moisture coming through. I'd really think about that.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
The other question I had was, I heard you say that you didn't think we could get good counties in the U.S. I'm wondering why.
That would be the limit of my knowledge. Maybe overspoke. I'm sure you could, looking in depth into qualified wine store, I'm sure you could find a full range of Chiantis, same as finest Burgundy and Bordeaux and so on. If you go to a specialized store, you will find all the Chiantis you want.
Yeah. But it's just not made.
It's not. It's certainly not made. And, you know, we have to respect Chianti is a specific appellation of Italy, made with specific grapes and specific weather. So there is no intention in trying to replicate or duplicate those wines. Why we might talk about Chianti style.
Okay. There you go, Rick. Thank you for calling. You know, earlier we had Mark Candinas on to talk about chocolates. Do you have a favorite wine or wines that go with the chocolates or different types?
You know, the best and easiest one to pair with chocolate, especially dark and intense chocolate, will be a red port.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, actually, we do. I was thinking, looking at this beautiful assortment of chocolate, I was thinking, well, what would I have with what? And the light creamy chocolate would have the white port. But the darker, the more intense the flavor is, the better it will go with the red port. The white port would be served slightly chilled, the red port room temperature, and again in a nice little sipping glass.
Yeah.
And after the meal, you can enjoy the red port with the roses on the table and the chocolate in between.
And you know, I have about 5 bottles of your port at home from different years.
Awesome.
Some of them go back several. You know, I've been hanging on to them and letting them age in the bottle a little bit.
And you know, we are still enjoying 2001, and 2002, 2005 is one of the best yet. 2009 will be a big one, like 2005, and they all are aging extremely well. So,
well, I tell you what, Philippe, it's happy Valentine's to you, and thank you so much. And take a look at Philippe's website. Go to WallersheimWinery.com, isn't it?
Absolutely, Wallersheim.com, actually.
Wallersheim.com, yeah. And take a look at the wines that they have there, the big selection, a lot of nice information on there. They have a number of events we didn't get to, but certainly worth a look to see what's coming up. Philippe Coquard, he'll be back. He'll be with us again. And I guess we will be having the music you heard earlier will be up on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page in just a couple hours. Stay with us.